Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you. The first batch of thousands of emails that Hillary Clinton sent through a private email address while serving as Secretary of State have been obtained by our partner, The New York Times, well ahead of the State Department's scheduled first release date of January 2016. Now, both the media and Clinton have requested the messages be made public, and so far, they appear to contain sensitive but not classified information, largely from around the time of the attacks in Benghazi. And of course, those attacks and their aftermath are the subject of an intense investigation in Congress by an ongoing special committee. For more now, we go to Michael Schmidt, reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Welcome, Michael.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Good to have you. Well, what do these emails show about what was known about the attacks on the compound by Hillary Clinton in Benghazi around that time and in its immediate aftermath? Are we learning anything new?
What we're learning is that Hillary Clinton was receiving sort of intelligence-like cables from a longtime confidant named Sidney Blumenthal, who had been prevented from joining her at the State Department. And he was providing her with his account of what occurred in the attacks, and she was circulating his accounts to others in the State Department. The interesting thing is that some of his accounts actually contradicted what the administration said really happened at the time.
In what ways do they contradict what the White House was saying, the Obama White House?
Well, the White House came out and said that it was not a pre-planned attack and it was a spontaneous outgrowth of this protest. But Mr. Blumenthal sent Mrs. Clinton a very detailed memo 2 days after the attacks that said indeed it had been a terrorist attack planned by this group from Eastern Libya. And she circulated that to her inside the State Department and said, get this around ASAP.
Now, the role of Sidney Blumenthal is a newish development as well. He has been subpoenaed by the special committee investigating Benghazi on Capitol Hill. He'll testify eventually. His relationship with the Clintons is a long one. People may remember him from back in the first Clinton, the only Clinton administration we've had, the administration of President Bill Clinton, his role in the aftermath of the Monica Lewinsky scandal, longtime confidant and lawyer. But what was his role here? Why was Sidney Blumenthal sending memo after memo on national security matters, sensitive ones, from outside the administration to the Secretary of State?
We don't really know. People in power apparently get a lot of emails from different folks and friends giving them different tips about things. The Clinton campaign has said that she did not request any of this information. It was all unsolicited. But what was happening is that she received 25 of these memos from Mr. Blumenthal over a 2-year period of time. And they were very detailed and they were addressed directly to her. And he was providing her with information from intelligence sources that he had on the ground in Libya. So it wasn't simply just, oh, here, I heard this at a cocktail party, let me pass it around. It was a systematic sending of memos.
Is it surprising to people in the national security spheres that Sidney Blumenthal is apparently sourced inside the government in Libya, that he can update the Secretary of State in this way?
I think a lot of people that know Mr. Blumenthal from the first from the Clinton White House back in the 90s are a bit surprised by this and didn't think of Mr. Blumenthal as someone that had a particular amount of expertise in Libya or foreign affairs.
And there is some skepticism to some of the accounts you can see from Secretary Clinton herself, where she says this sounds like a conspiracy theory or this one sounds thin, but not to all of them, only to a couple.
Correct. She had a wide range of responses to them. Some of them she thought were dubious, and some of them she wanted to get into the hands of Chris Stevens, the United States ambassador in Libya, and into the hands of other senior State Department officials to get their reactions to it. She wanted some of them, as I said, circulated immediately. She wanted some of Mr. Blumenthal's advice passed to the White House. And she wanted a lot of the memos that he sent printed, and apparently that was because she could read them. She preferred to read things in a printed form.
We should remind people, Michael Schmidt, if they're not thinking about it already, that the emails that you're reporting on, indeed the ones that will be released by the State Department and are in the possession now of the Special Committee investigating Benghazi, are ones that she has essentially selected. She handed over many of the emails that were on her private server. The ones she deemed not worthy of public attention are gone.
Correct. Well, what happened was is that the state last year she handed over 55,000 pages of emails to the State Department, and that was in response to a request from the State Department for all records that she had that may not be in the State Department's possession. She then said in after it came out that she had exclusively used a personal email account, that she deleted about another essentially 30,000 emails that were on the account that she didn't pertain to her time as Secretary of State.
So a selection of the emails are now becoming public emails that the State Department will eventually release. And there is an ongoing investigation still on Capitol Hill around Benghazi and the emails of former Secretary of State and presidential candidate Hillary Rodham Clinton. Michael Schmidt, for our partner, The New York Times, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.